been a little while, Mary Kay, but we are 2 weeks out from the NFL draft. We are recording this on Thursday, so exactly 2 weeks. So this draft process, almost over. We almost reached the finish line.
Can you believe it? I remember when we got to the end of the season, and it just seemed like the draft was light years away, and we knew that every single day between then and the draft that we were going to be writing about this draft, talking about this draft. I cannot believe it's finally here.
Yeah, I mean, here we go. Browns are on the clock at 8 o'clock 2 weeks from now, and it's going to be interesting, you know, and it's going to be quick, too, because they're going to go one, and then they're going to go four, possibly. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to talk about quarterbacks. We're going to talk about Jarvis Landry, of course, who, as we're recording this, is about to sign a huge contract extension. We're going to get into some guys at the number four pick. So let's start with Jarvis Landry. Big deal, about $15 million a year for the guy they acquired from Miami. He was going to play on the franchise tag this year, which was, what, $16 million, I think?
Almost, yeah.
You know, I don't want to say this came out of nowhere. I think people expected the Browns to maybe look into a long-term deal, but this is a lot of money for Jarvis Landry.
Well, it is when you consider the fact that up to this point in his career, he really has been a slot receiver. Mm-hmm. And this makes him the highest paid slot receiver by far in the NFL. You usually don't make this kind of money unless you're the number one receiver on a team.
Yeah.
Now, if Josh Gordon sticks around and is there every single day, he's slated to be that X receiver, that number one guy. Now, oddly enough, they have the money to pay Jarvis Landry in part because Josh Gordon, your star receiver, because of everything that he's been through, is only set to make $790,000 this year. That is basically the veteran minimum for a player of his caliber. I mean, not of his caliber, for the length of service, that is the veteran minimum. So it's incredible that, you know, you look out there and you're going to see Pro Bowler Josh Gordon and Pro Bowler Jarvis Landry. The discrepancy in salary is mind-boggling.
Yeah, well, and this is the other thing. Kevin Clark from The Ringer has made this point on his podcast a few times, where when you have the Browns are going to have a quarterback on a rookie deal. Now, obviously, they have Tyrod Taylor, too, who's making $16 million this year. But you're seeing teams now have these quarterbacks on rookie deals, and in those 4 or 5 years, they're spending a ton of money on guys around them before they have to start paying that quarterback. And this sort of, this kind of fits into that model a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Because, you know, by the time the new quarterback is ready to get rolling, you know, you're going to, you know, you're going to have to start to wonder, you know, how long is Josh Gordon going to be playing? How long is Jarvis Landry going to be playing? You know, he's 25 years old right now. By the time he gets to the end of this contract, you know, he'll be 29 years old. So, or actually he'll be 30 years old. This is a 5-year contract. So again, we don't know how it's front loaded or whatever. We know that there's about $47 million guaranteed. So in that scenario, you would expect that he would play at least 3 years, you know, for him to really fulfill this contract.
Yeah. And so the structure of the contract's important because, you know, if this is a front loaded contract and let's say it doesn't work out and they cut him in 2 years, obviously that makes the contract a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an expensive mistake from a cash standpoint, not from a salary cap standpoint. So
right.
This, depending on how it's structured, it might not really be that big of a deal from a cap perspective.
No, I mean, it shouldn't. And the Browns have a lot of money. You know, they still have a lot of money to spend. So, you know, if you want to bring in Pro Bowl players, you know, like the Jamie
Collins. Especially here.
Yeah. If you want to bring in the Jamie Collins of the world and you want to bring in and keep the Jarvis Landrys and those kind of guys, you have to pay them. And in some cases, you have to overpay them.
Yeah. And then they overpay for Jamie Collins.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that production hasn't quite matched up yet either. But you bring him in because you know he's a good player. You know he's talented.
Right.
You know that he gives you something at that linebacker position, even if he's not making big plays. And you pay a lot of money for it. And listen, if there's going to come a point in Jamie Collins' contract where they can say, you know what, it's not that expensive for us to move on. There's not that much dead money on this contract.
Right.
You know, if they want to move on, they can.
Right. And you have to pay the Cleveland premium right now.
Yeah.
Until they start winning football games, until they prove it to the NFL world that they are a good, solid franchise, a winning team, you've got to pay the Browns premium.
And we're coming off, you know, a half season of Kenny Britt. Dwayne Bowe before him, signed by Ray Farmer. We've seen the Browns go out and try and get free agent wide receivers. I don't think that's going to happen with Jarvis Landry. I think regardless, you're going to get production out of Jarvis Landry. You know, what kind of production, I don't know, but he's going to catch the football.
Right.
In the red zone, he's a threat. he's not going to be the next Kenny Britt or Dwayne Bowe.
No, no, he definitely won't be that. The thing to watch, and the very interesting thing, is that he did clash with Adam Gase. Now, you know, Adam Gase is a very strong personality too, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really take anything from anybody. If he does not like you, you're going to be gone. And Jamar Taylor fits into that category too. For whatever reason, he didn't like Jamar Taylor. Jamar's gone. So he, you know, he's been ushering people out of Miami if they don't sort of fit what he's looking for in a player. And obviously, Jarvis Landry did not fit. Those two guys butted heads. You know, Jarvis Landry got into, you know, a scuffle on the field and was, you know, that's the thing that you have to look at and wonder about with Jarvis Landry. Is he going to fall in line and do the things that, you know, that he needs to do here? But one good thing is that his LSU wide receivers coach, Adam Henry, is here, knows him, knows how to work with him, and already likes him.
Well, and this is, you know, two teams in two different places, right? I mean, Browns. Jarvis Landry would have taken this contract from Miami. Miami wasn't going to give it to him. The Browns need Jarvis Landry, and they're willing to give him that type of money. And they have the money to give him, and they're willing to kind of take this chance that Miami wasn't.
Yeah, and you know what? We see that a lot. One man's trash is another man's treasure. And the same thing with Jamie Collins. The Patriots were not going to give him $12 million a year. They did not feel that he was worth that. And will he be worth it here? You know, it remains to be seen. Like you said, you know, he still needs to, you know, to step it up and be that guy and sort of take over games and dominate games a little bit. And same thing with Jarvis Landry. When you reward him with this kind of money, you really need him to be that Pro Bowl player.
Well, and the other thing, too, is to go back to that pay discrepancy. As you look at the Browns' key players, you know, Myles Garrett on his rookie deal. You know, there's not a lot of guys we can really talk about as key players, unfortunately. But, you know, if Corey Coleman turns into a good receiver this year, he's still on his rookie deal. They just don't have a lot of guys that are expensive or a lot of guys that are coming up on new contracts for the next few years. Duke Johnson is coming up.
Right.
But there aren't guys that are just bearing down on free agency right now.
No, there aren't. So, you know, I think they've done a fairly good job of managing that at most of their positions. I mean, even quarterback right now, they just, you know, they don't have, you know, a ton of money invested in the quarterback position.
Well, big part of that is the structure of the roster.
They
tore everything down and drafted 24 guys. And
yes, exactly.
A lot of them haven't worked out, but, you know, it's sort of working out in John Dorsey's favor right now, at least.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about quarterbacks. Let's talk about the rookies. Potential rookies that could be on this roster next year.
Yep.
Josh Allen in for a visit this week. Lamar Jackson in for a visit this week. Sam Darnold has been in. Josh Rosen has been in. Baker Mayfield has been in. Any significance that Josh Allen is kind of the, I don't want to say the last man up because Lamar Jackson is coming in after him, but of the big four, Josh Allen is the last man up.
Well, you know, originally, and I wrote this, he was supposed to be in last Wednesday, and Sam Darnold ended up coming in last Wednesday. So they are represented by the same agency. So I don't know if they just, you know, flip-flopped those two guys. So I don't know if it's very significant that Josh Allen is the last one in. I don't know if maybe the Browns wanted to make it look significant that he's the last one in. You know, who knows? But what we do know is there has been tons and tons of reports, buzz, hype, that the Browns are going to take Josh Allen number one overall. And, you know, Dan, I just am not really buying it right now. I mean, they could do it, and maybe they will, but I would kind of be surprised if they did. At this point, I still think that they will take Sam Darnold number one overall.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen, is the arm is intriguing, the athleticism is intriguing, but you're gambling on him becoming a pretty big outlier. There's a lot of numbers that are pointing to, is Josh Allen going to be able to become an NFL quarterback? And maybe, and I know you've written a lot about this, you talked to Jordan Palmer about this, you know, maybe there is just an underlying cause that has been fixed. And that's what you'd be gambling on, that has been fixed.
Yeah, but can you make a gamble at number one overall?
And I think that's the problem.
And you know what? There are issues with Sam Darnold, too, obviously. Uh-huh. They've been well documented, the fact that he turns the ball over, the fact that he fumbles the ball. But it seems to me that his accuracy and his anticipation, they don't have to worry about getting that into him or fixing that. Whereas with Josh Allen, they have to fix his accuracy. They have to continue to fix his accuracy. Now, when it all comes together, like Hugh Jackson said, it's beautiful. He throws a beautiful ball. And as Jordan Palmer told me, he's never seen anything like it. So there's a lot to like. And you know, I like Josh Allen. I do like Josh Allen, but I understand why people are afraid of him. You know, I totally get it, because you are banking on a projection and thinking that, okay, if he goes out there and really tries to burn this new footwork into muscle memory, he's going to be a consistently accurate quarterback, and he's got an unbelievable arm and a lot of other things too. Mobility, smarts, you know, he scored a 37 on the Wonderlic. I've heard that he does really well up on the whiteboard. So there's a lot to like about him. And again, I would struggle with the decision because I like him enough that I might actually take that chance on him at number one overall. But I don't know that the Browns would.
See, and I wouldn't either. Yeah. I can't get on the Josh Allen bandwagon. Yeah. I've given it a chance. And look, you know, I completely acknowledge that if this guy turns in, if all these things come together, he's going to be incredible. I mean, I've seen some of the throws he was able to make. I just can't get on the Josh Allen bandwagon. The other thing that would worry me is once you bring a guy in like that and he's your third string quarterback, those reps dry up really quickly. So you'd get into the season, you know, how much work can he actually get on the field as you're preparing? I mean, this team's trying to win games this year. That's clear. Yeah. So if Tyrod Taylor's your one, if Drew Stanton is your two, there's not a ton of reps there for Josh Allen all of a sudden.
No, they're going to have a plan for him, because if he is going to get the work that he needs to get, they're going to have to work with him in some very creative ways to get him what he needs. They're going to have to work with him off to the side. Drew Stanton's going to have to work with him. He's going to have to get some of those second team reps. Drew Stanton doesn't really need the reps.
That's true.
In the way that Josh Allen does. So I think a lot of those, you know, scout team reps or whatever that would be going to Drew Stanton would have to go to Josh Allen if they want to have or Sam Darnold, if they want to have a good quarterback when it comes time to actually play him.
Yeah, and I've said this before. The other thing is, he's not going to take a hit until they get to New York in August. That's the next time that Josh Allen is going to have to work under the type of pressure where he could take a hit from someone. So, you know, there's a lot of gambles. All of these guys are gambles, though, honestly. Yes. Baker Mayfield would be a gamble. Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, you mentioned some of the things with him. All of these guys, there's no surefire number one in this draft.
You know, I just start to get skeptical when all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks before the draft, you start hearing a name. You know, they're going Josh Allen. It's just coming out of everywhere, right? So it just, you know, it just leads me to believe that maybe the Browns want that out there for some reason. But you know what? Who knows? They could surprise us. I think that John Dorsey has done a phenomenal job of playing it close to the vest, of letting teams know that he's open for business, and just doing everything that he can to make teams guess what he's about to do.
Friend of Dorsey has been very very busy lately.
Yeah.
in national media. And the thing about John Dorsey too, when he's talked to us, he's been very coy. Right after they introduced all their new acquisitions, someone asked him about, you know, agreeing to the trades before the new league year started. And he kind of laughed and said, I showed up at the building today and here these guys were.
Yeah.
So he didn't even really want to talk about that stuff. We're going to get him next Thursday, I believe.
Yes.
So he's been playing it very coy.
Yeah, he really has. And, you know, here's the thing about John Dorsey. He doesn't really know everyone in the building very well yet.
Yeah.
I mean, he only came onto the scene a couple of weeks with a couple of weeks left into the regular season. So he doesn't even know who he can trust. So who knows what he's doing? Maybe he's putting a bug in someone's ear to see if it gets out.
True.
You know what I mean? He's got to figure out what he's got going on. And also, you know, the other thing I think to watch for after the draft is probably a little bit more of a shakeup in the personnel department.
Yeah, because obviously he came on in December. A lot of that work was done. And now...
Yep.
And we see that a lot, right, in the NFL. You always kind of get those headlines where people are like, I can't believe a team would do that. But it happens a lot in this league.
Right.
You know, the personnel people are there. They've done all the work. You kind of need to keep them around until you shake up the entire part of the office there.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that he might even be keeping higher level people in the building guessing on just exactly what he's thinking at 1-4.
Yeah.
I mean, that would not surprise me at this point.
All right. Let's talk about 4. because the names there that you would think would be, you know, Bradley Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and it turns out the Browns have not had any of those guys in for one of their 30 visits. They talked to Chubb and Fitzpatrick at the combine, not Barkley.
Right.
Anything to take away from that?
You know, I find it odd. I mean, if you really are thinking about taking Saquon Barkley, I would think that you would do one of these three things. Interview him at the combine, work him out privately, or bring him in for a private visit. They have done none of those things. Now, the only thing that I will say about him, though, is that he is such a clean prospect from an off-the-field standpoint, and there's so much good tape on him. You've seen enough of what he can do. You know, you saw what he could do at the combine with your own two eyes. So, you know, they might not need to bring him in to go ahead and draft him at number four anyways. So it either means that, or, and I find this hard to believe, or it means they're seriously thinking about not taking him anywhere at all. But I don't know how you couldn't at least, like, really give him solid, strong consideration from everything that I've heard about him.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're just absolutely opposed to taking a running back that high, which is possible.
Right.
I mean, Green Bay never really did that.
Right.
Kansas City, of course, never really did that. So maybe that's the one. We talk about analytics and how the Browns have moved away from that a little bit. Maybe that's one of those areas where they're still buying into that. Like, you just don't take a running back at number four.
Yeah, I don't know. And then again, like you said, they did not do private workouts with Minkah Fitzpatrick and Bradley Chubb. You know, I also find that a little bit odd because I would have to think that those three guys that we're talking about would be the top three contenders for them at number four overall. So does this mean they're thinking about trading back? Or do they know enough already about all of these guys? I don't know. Just to not bring them in and not spend that private time with them, if you're going to invest a number four overall pick in the guy, it's kind of unheard of.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know, maybe they really like Denzel Ward.
Maybe.
Who came in for that local visit. We just talked about him on our Facebook Live draft show. Maybe they really like him at corner.
You know what? I mean, who knows? At least they got an opportunity to look at him, because when those guys come into town, the locals, they are allowed to work out here. Mm-hmm. Now, if you did bring, let's just say a Saquon Barkley into Cleveland, you can't work him out here anyways. So you'd be mostly trying to get to know him as a person, talking to him and those sorts of things. So maybe they just didn't feel like they needed to do that. Maybe they felt they had enough good information on them as people that they did not have to do that. But you're right, they brought in Denzel Ward and a number of other guys, but it seems like the you know, obviously the biggest name guys that they have brought in are the quarterbacks.
With that number four pick then, mentioning trading down, I mean, how far is too far? I think a lot of people are looking at Buffalo. Well, I'll put you down to number 12, you'd probably get 22, maybe you'd get a first round pick next year, probably something else in this draft, maybe a third rounder in this draft.
Yeah.
Is that a deal you would be interested in if you were John Dorsey?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if you want to go back that far, but I think there might be other opportunities to move back to number five with Denver or something like that. I mean, you know, maybe you can slip back a spot or two and still get the player, the impact player that you want. So I don't know. I don't know how deep they're going in terms of, I mean, hey, if you've got 8 players ranked the same,
yeah,
then you can go back to number 12 and you'd be happy with any one of those guys. So not really sure how he has his board stacked yet. And if you can pick up an extra first rounder again, that's always an attractive thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's somebody who everyone's projecting as a late first rounder that John Dorsey just loves.
Yeah.
And he would take him at 12. You just don't know. I mean, I guess that's what makes the draft so interesting. When we actually finally get to draft day, that's what makes it so interesting, is seeing how teams, you know, all these rumors, that's it. The cards go on the table. We get to really see how teams feel about guys.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, the draft in most towns is not anywhere near as interesting as it is here in Cleveland. I mean, really, when you think about this, I mean, my goodness. Number 1, number 4, 33, 35, and 64. I mean, if you get this right, you can absolutely 100% transform your team and set yourself up for a long playoff run with this draft alone if you nail these picks.
Well, and then we won't be spending all this time talking. Everybody loves the draft, but we wouldn't be spending from October until April talking about it.
Right. I'm telling you right now, over in Pittsburgh, you know, our friend Ed Bouchette and Jerry Dulac.
They've probably gotten some vacation time in.
Yeah. They're probably outside golfing today. But yeah, I mean, you know, we've written, you know, hundreds and hundreds of draft stories on Cleveland.com since the end of the season. This doesn't happen everywhere. This is a unique draft, and they can really, if they, like I said, if they really get this right, I mean, this team could go gangbusters.
Well, and it's the perfect storm too, because if you talk to national writers, and some of them have said it publicly, that they write about the Browns on purpose, mm-hmm. because they know the Browns, no matter what, move the needle. So now you've got the Browns for the second year in a row with the number one pick, a new GM, all of this stuff. So it's going to be every day. You're going to have something about the Browns getting written, getting said, getting talked about, because they are the center of the draft universe, which is, you know, because it's from September through December, they're certainly not the center of the NFL universe.
Right.
So they're trying to fix that now.
But you know what? I think that they can win some games this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think if they get this draft right, and, you know, with some of the younger guys that are growing up a little bit and the guys that they have brought in, I think they should be able to win some football games this year. Of course, I think it all comes down to the quarterback position. You've got to get good quarterback play. But if they get good play out of Tyrod Taylor or whoever's going to start for them at quarterback, you know, I think that makes all the difference in the world. That and turnovers. If they're not turning the ball over and they're getting some takeaways, you know, I think that they should and could win 6 or 7 games this year.
Well, and that goes to roster construction, too.
Yeah.
You know, they've decided to go out and spend money and bring in veterans, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And not, you know, not ridiculous amounts of money. Obviously, Jarvis Landry, we talked about off the top, got a ton of money. But they brought in guys that can start week one. And so now you're not going to be bringing in, what are they at, 9 picks now?
Yep.
You know, in the past it was 12, 10 picks, you know, 24 picks in the last 2 years. All these guys aren't going to come in and suddenly get thrown into the fire.
Right.
You know, you have a starting free safety. You have 2 starting cornerbacks. You have starting wide receivers now. You have veterans that have been there that have played. And if a rookie wants to take their job, they have to come and take their job. It's not just going to be handed to you because we don't have anybody else on the team that can play that position.
Right. And I think that, you know, John Dorsey has made it perfectly clear, and he actually said it in a radio interview at one point, that, you know, I want to bring some real football players in here. And he's ushered out a lot of guys already.
Yeah.
And I think you'll see even more of that as we go along here over the next couple of months. I mean, you know, I still have to think, you know, is Corey Coleman going to be on this team on the first day of the season? I think that his name will be at least bandied about on draft day and maybe even thereafter. He's sort of the symbol of the Sashi Brown regime. He needs to step it up. And, you know, I still think that, you know, there are guys like that on this team that have to kind of watch their back a little.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think he's a great example of that. You draft him and there's nobody there to kind of pump the brakes on him a little bit. He's just, he's out there right away. He's got to start. You know, last year too, same thing. You know, you went into last year with Ed Reynolds as your starting free safety.
Yep.
Well, what happens? Ed Reynolds gets hurt, so now Jabril Peppers has to move over there. And you should have never been in a situation where that position depended on a guy like Ed Reynolds.
Right.
So, I mean, those were some of the flaws in that roster construction and that plan, that you took all these rookies and just threw them out there because you didn't have anybody else.
Yeah, and of course, you know, there are some issues. They have to look at left tackle.
I mean,
is Sean Coleman going to be able to step in and be the left tackle that they need him to be? They're probably also going to draft one. And, you know, if you're going to get a good one, you're probably going to have to get him at least in the second round. So that's a very key position. Although with Tyrod Taylor being a mobile quarterback, it's not as imperative. You know, he's not just going to be, you know, a sitting duck back there. You know, so it, you know, it's not like they have to have somebody of Joe Thomas's caliber right away because Tyrod can escape some trouble. But, still there are some issues on the team that they have going into this season.
Yeah. It's certainly not perfect. We did a video a couple weeks ago. I think we kind of came up with 7 wins as a bar, not necessarily a prediction, but like a bar. Okay, maybe if things go right, they could win 7 games.
Right.
You know, that they go 6-10, 7-9, I think that's a probably that's probably pretty good progress for a team that was 1-31 in the last 2 years.
Yeah,
even 5-11, you could make a case.
Right,
would be progress.
Right, and you have to expect that. I mean, look, Myles Garrett missed the first four games of last season, and still ended up having a good season. So you would have to expect that if he's healthy this year, you know, that he should be taking it to the next level. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he comes in and, you know, he missed a significant amount of training camp too. So if he has a whole training camp.
And he had a concussion too in the middle of the season.
Yeah. So if he starts the season and can stay healthy, he should be in double-digit sacks next year. Like you said, Jabril Peppers, he should be at his natural position of strong safety and make an impact there. He's a heavy hitter, a big hitter. He should be able to make an impact there. Then you brought in, again, you know, Demarius Randall, Jarvis Landry, Tyrod Taylor. You got Chris Hubbard coming in. So, you know, there are a lot of reasons to think that things should be better.
Well, they're clearly trying to make things better. You know, we've seen it before. We'll see what happens here in 2 weeks when they make a whole bunch of draft picks, especially on those first 2 days of the draft. And of course, we'll have full coverage of it at cleveland.com/friends. And we're doing a draft event on the 23rd. I think we're pretty much at capacity there, but I'm sure there will be video of it on the site. It'll be you, me, I believe Doug, LaMaurice, and Fedor. We're going to talk all things NFL draft that week of the draft. So that should be exciting as well. So a lot of things coming up.
Looking forward to that.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.